The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Today, Pastor Gregory Seltz says Jesus' resurrection is the down payment on a promise God makes to you.
God is at work for the world, for you. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh at work for each one of us. Jesus' death paid humanity's debt to justice, and his resurrection is God's public guarantee for your eternal life in him. Because he lives, you will live also, eternally, starting today.
Stay with us for Pastor Seltz's message. The text for today's sermon is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now here's our speaker, Pastor Gregory Seltz.
If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, and his resurrection means that we can have hope for today, tomorrow, forever. Amen. Have you read the good news in the paper lately? The housing crisis might be over. In fact, there are a lot of people hoping against hope that this is true. Many are being told that now may be the time for you to put your money down and participate in the dream of home ownership again. But something seems to still be holding people back. What might that be? Well, for many, it's that nasty down payment. Houses still cost a lot of money, and banks are requiring at least 20% down or more. After all, people need to have a stake in their investments, don't they? Down payments. That's having a stake in the game, having skin in the game, as it were. The higher the down payment, the more sure that the loan will get paid, the more certain that the promissory note will be fulfilled. That down payment is a promise that the contract is sure and you get to move in as if the house were yours already. When St. Paul calls Jesus' resurrection the first fruits of those who have risen from the dead, he's not only reminding people that God has a stake in the game, he's reminding them of God's faithfulness in all things. First fruits talk is harvest talk. It's about God's faithfulness to provide all that we need in our relationship with him. Israel would give the first tenth of the fruits of the field back to the Lord. Why? Because they were acknowledging his faithfulness in bringing forth not only the first sheaves of the harvested grain, but of all the rest to follow. They were celebrating God's enduring faithfulness first, acknowledging him as the one who had always and would always fulfill his promises when he has a stake in the game. That's what we see in our text today. It's Easter. We're talking about Jesus' resurrection and the fact that all those who trust in him will have eternal, resurrected life just as he promised. For whatever happens to this Jesus, it can happen to you. If he lives, you can live also. His resurrection is God's first fruit guarantee, a down payment, even better, a loan publicly paid in full concerning your eternal life with him, now demonstrated for all to see in the resurrection of his Son for you. Faith in this Jesus is faith in a contract where God provides everything for us. It's like the word covenant in the Bible. It's something that God the Father establishes, puts in place, and offers so that we can dwell in his house forever. He did that in full when he sent his Son to live, to die, and to rise again for you. His resurrection means that his life can be yours too. The Apostle Paul says this is no metaphor, no hope against hope wish. It's a promise of life for all. You can take that to the bank. For if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. But we have a problem, don't we? Even with such good news. First, many have a cynical notion that such things can't be true in today's modern world. But it's even worse than that. Even if it is true, we human beings don't like eternal hope, especially when it comes as a gift from God, on his terms alone. The sin of Adam and Eve is ours as well. The rebellion of the Garden of Eden is the rebellion that lives in every human heart. Our sin makes us short-sighted, even blind to the very cause of our own mortality. We don't like pure gifts from God because we still believe that we can handle things on our own. Paul speaks plainly in our lesson today when he says, "Death came through a man, for as in Adam, all die." Yet even here we dismiss our need for life. We dismiss God's resurrection message of hope. We continue to seek solutions of hope on our own terms alone. We strive for what I call hopeless hope. You know, most are looking everywhere else but the cross and the empty tomb of Jesus for life's meaning and purpose and power. Most people today, if they believe in anything resembling resurrection, they believe it's a power that they possess, a work that they can do. If not, they don't believe at all. Hopeless hope. We get our hopes up, we make our grand plans, we follow our clever schemes, but our schemes come to nothing. Our knowledge always seems incomplete just when we need it most. Our hopes are eventually dashed. Our modern temptation, though, is to continue to believe that the next technology will save us. You know, first the telephone, it would be the next best thing to being there. Then radio would bring us knowledge and bond our communities even beyond our shores. And of course, television was to make us wise beyond our years. And yet our problems are exponentially worse today than ever before. Do people turn to Christ in repentance and faith? No. The temptation of hopeless hope still lures many anew. Have you heard about the Google X initiative? I like that. The initiative sounds important. Google has a plan to solve the world's greatest problems. They call it the intersection of radical problems with radical solutions with radical technology. Sounds radical. Now, I'm no technophobe. I mean, if you're talking about things like driverless cars or smartphones or modern conveniences due to nanotechnology or stuff like that, I'm a Google man. But if you're talking about sin and its shadows, like destroyed relationships, violence, poverty, and the like, wake up from hopeless hope. There's already a radical solution. God in the flesh, born under the law, born in the muck and mire of this world, born to save humanity from itself. There is a radical solution. God on the move, to the cross, with the very power of His resurrection from the dead, building another kingdom through freed servants, believers, and receivers of His resurrection life who will entrust their lives to Him and serve others, those whom God brings into their path, serving them as God in Christ serves you. Now that's a Christian X initiative. Even more radical. It's the intersection of God in the world at work, the intersection of humanity's greatest problems and deepest needs, and the intersection of forgiven sinners, graced people at work in His name for others. But Paul says it even more boldly. If Christ is not arisen, then we're to be pitied because we're still in our sins. But we don't have to suffer the fate of hopeless hope. We don't have to hope against hope that life is worth living and that it has eternal purpose. Why? God is at work for the world, for you. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh at work for each one of us. Jesus' death paid humanity's debt to justice, and His resurrection is God's public guarantee for your eternal life in Him. Because He lives, you will live also, eternally, starting today. Because He lives, you can bank on the fact that your life has meaning and purpose today, because the resurrected One is your Lord and your Savior. You know, Easter's one of those days when everything comes clear. Jesus' death, His willingness to suffer hell in our place, now in full view of His resurrection, now we see clearly that only such a sacrifice could bring such a blessing. Today's a day when we come to grips with the fact that God in Christ really does have our best interest at heart. When Jesus said, "I've come to give you life and to give it to you abundantly," now we see that promise fulfilled, that offer clearly made. God has skin in the game, if you will, concerning your life and salvation. He dies on your cross and He offers His resurrected life to you. And He literally goes before you as the risen one. God's guarantee that eternal life is yours by faith in Him. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And because He lives, you and I will live also, now and forever. When we learn that, when we realize that we are living in eternity and towards eternal life in Him, that His resurrection payment in full is only the beginning, then and only then does this temporal life become the adventure of faith that it was meant to be. Professional golfer Paul Azinger was diagnosed with cancer at age 33. He had just won a PGA championship and had 10 tournament victories to his credit. But suddenly, none of that seemed to matter. Temporal life seemed not only temporal, but even finite. "Is this all there is?" he wrote. "A genuine feeling of fear came over me," he said. I could die from cancer." Then another reality hit me even harder. "I'm going to die eventually anyway, whether from cancer or something else. It's just a question of when." Everything I had accomplished in golf became meaningless to me. All I wanted to do was live. Then he remembered something that Larry Moody, who teaches Bible study on the tour, something Moody had said to him. "Zinger, we're not in the land of the living, going to the land of the dying. We're in the land of the dying, trying to get to the land of the living." Well, Jesus' public resurrection guarantees that life is worth living, because life in Him never ends, starting now. God put Himself on public display in His Son for all to see, so that all people might put their hope in Jesus Christ alone. In Him, God's promises are sure. In Him, the Apostle Paul later says in 2 Corinthians 1, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." In a world that is moving fast on an unstable course, we need something solid upon which to hang our hopes. We need to repent of our reliance on hopeless hope, but we need to see what God Himself has put in its place. A sure hope, a certain hope, a hope-filled, life-giving hope in Christ alone. The cross and the resurrection of Jesus, that is the stuff that real hope is made of. Jesus' resurrection is God the Father's guarantee that abundant, eternal life is yours by faith in Him. Don't miss it, and surely don't lose it. But you know, the Apostle Paul isn't just warning us against hopeless hope. He's offering Christ's eternal hope for your life today. Like Paul Azinger, we need to realize today that we are a resurrection people. Today we live in the grace of God in Christ and in the power of His resurrection. Hope is a motivating thing because it tells the human heart that tomorrow is worth living for. Everyone needs some guarantees that life has purpose today, tomorrow, even for the days to come. And Paul shouts that the cross and the resurrection, that's God's public guarantee that real life and salvation are sure to all those who believe in Him. He's the first fruits, the public example of what's coming next. Good Friday couldn't stop God. Bloodthirsty, rebellious leaders couldn't stop God. Satan himself couldn't stop Him. He is risen. He's alive. And He is already carving out a future for each one who puts their faith in Him. So look in that empty tomb today. That's God's guarantee that your life is worth living too. God the Father doesn't just offer eternal life. He embodies it for you in the resurrection of His Son. His resurrection guarantee is not just for tomorrow, it's for living today. As Easter people, you and I get to live each and every day in the knowledge that your life is in Christ's hands. And even if that means that you're starting all over again today, your future is sure in Him just the same. His resurrection is your destiny. His blessing is your promise. Easter faith repents of hopeless hope, and Easter faith can begin to live new life today. Easter faith receives joyfully what the Lord has for you. And that's what resurrection faith is about. Discovering your value in Christ. Discovering what you are meant to be in Him, what you can be in Him and for each other. You can't know who you are until you know the One who created and redeemed you. He literally died and rose again so that you could know how precious you are to Him. And because He lives for you and you live in Him, live today expecting there to be a tomorrow, blessed and eternal. And that kind of life boldly lives even this side of heaven. That kind of life is, as they say, worth the risk. It was August 13, 1961. The communists decided to build a wall between West and East Germany. Alongside that wall in Berlin lived a sweet little old lady named Frau Schulz. They started to brick up that wall, and they put barbed wire on the top, and many people started to make their escape, grabbing whatever they could and getting over that wall before it was too late. Frau Schulz was nervous and worried, too. She needed to get out. Her family was on the other side of the wall, but she was too scared to try. A month later, the wall was complete, and she was moved by the government to the second-floor apartment right near the wall. They moved her there because surely a 75-year-old lady wouldn't try to escape. But there she was, alone, hopeless, in a foreign apartment, jostled by people who didn't care. She had enough. Freedom, life, hope meant everything to her. She grabbed her cat and out the window she went. Now, many of you have seen movies of her escape. The sight of a 75-year-old lady on a ledge caught the attention of the Germans on the west side, and they sent a fireman squad with a net for her 20-foot jump. The communists saw it too, and they beat down her door, trying to grab her from the window to drag her back in. She literally hung there between the hopelessness of her past and the hope of a new life in her future. She had people grabbing her from all sides, and then it happened. She first dropped her cat into the net, and then, yes, you guessed it, she pulled herself free from the East German guard, and she leaped to freedom. With that risky leap, a 75-year-old lady's life of hope had just begun all over again. Today, you and I are invited to leave behind the confining walls of hopeless hope, invited to the risk of faith, the joy of resurrection life, to repent of our trust in humanity's bravado and to trust in Christ's resurrection hope, not just to leap, but to fall into His hands by faith, the hands of the one who lived and died and rose again for you. You know, I don't know if the housing crisis is over. I'm not sure if the banks are going to loosen up their credit and help us get our economy going again. And I'm not even sure if the present political solutions will do anything for us at all. But I do know this. Life is not to be found in bank accounts and mortgages. True life does not ebb and flow with the times of prosperity or times of adversity. Life is to be found in Jesus Christ and His resurrection for you. That is the power to live life now and forever. Think of it this way. We were made for eternity, and we were redeemed so that we could start to live in eager expectation now, making the most of these days and yearning to live all our days in Christ. The late Keith Green, a wonderful Christian songwriter, had a song entitled, "I Can't Wait to Get to Heaven," in which he describes his anticipation of meeting Jesus. The words go like this. "Thoughts of heaven somehow seem to fill my mind, but I can't even imagine what it is I'm going to find. I can't wait to get to heaven when you'll wipe away all my fears. In 6 days you created everything, but you've been working on heaven 2,000 years. Deep green forests, mountains reaching for the sky, grasslands and deserts, your creation fills my eye. Thank you, Jesus, though this beauty is just a taste of all your glory I'll see when I pass through those heavenly gates." Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, hallelujah. And because He lives, you and I as believers in Him will live also now and forever. You have His public guarantee to prove it. Amen.
listening to The Lutheran Hour. Download free music for Easter, arranged and performed by Peter Prochnow. Professor Prochnow directs the Worship Arts Program at Concordia University in Seward, Nebraska. For your free music download, go to LutheranHour.org and click on the banner. That's LutheranHour.org. For a free copy of the book, Changeless Christ, Changing World, call the Lutheran Hour toll-free, 1-855-JOHN-3-16. Each week, the Lutheran Hour shares the good news of God's forgiving love for us in Jesus Christ. Your ongoing support makes this ministry possible. Your prayers and gifts help us bring the message of God's grace to people all over the world. Please pray for God's continued blessings upon this work and consider making a gift as you are able. Call 1-855-JOHN-3-16 or visit our website, LutheranHour.org, or write The Lutheran Hour, 660 Mason Ridge Center Drive, St. Louis, Missouri, 63141. With your continued faithful support, we are bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. Now Pastor Self leads us in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
Welcome to a special edition of our question and answer segment. I'm Mark Eicher, talking here with Pastor Gregory Seltz on this, the occasion of his one-year anniversary of being on the air here as the speaker of the Lutheran Hour. Pastor, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. A blessed Easter to you too, Mark.
Thank you very much. Well, it's been a year for you here on the air and also a year at Lutheran Hour Ministries. Mm-hmm. What would you say are some things you've learned about your work that you'd love people to know?
Well, let me say first, wow, has it been a year already? That sure went by fast. But it's been a tremendous honor and privilege to be behind this microphone, but also to be out among God's people, talking with them about faith in Jesus and learning together how we might more confidently share that faith with others.
I must say that it's been fun working with you here in the studio.
Well, it's been fun for me, too. We've had a lot of fun. And let me share with the folks on the radio today one of this work's special joys. You know, it's the prayer that we say together right before recording. Now, for those of you who may not know, Mark prays that the very words that are being spoken and recorded, that they may be exactly the words of God that someone needs to hear. So when I think about the fact that there are people listening all over North America hearing about God's love for them, some faithfully over the years and some for the first time, I'm overwhelmed by that.
And for me as well, I consider that a privilege.
Boy, it sure is. And I want people to know that every time we record, our focus in here is to do all that we can by God's grace to bless them with God's word for their life. In fact, one of the great joys that I have is trying to picture our listeners as I'm praying the Lord's Prayer and offering God's blessing, just as if they were in here with us, face to face.
But your work at Lutheran Hour Ministries includes more than the weekly radio program, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's no doubt that the Lutheran Hour is central to the work I do and all the work that we do here at Lutheran Hour Ministries. But even this work is for a greater purpose. Everything we do here is for the purpose of bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to our churches.
And there are a lot of things going on here that are specifically designed to help people do that. What sort of things have you been a part of?
Well, you know, I've been a part of most of the ROCs, you know, those regional outreach conferences where we've partnered with churches around the U.S. and Canada to lead evangelism workshops, equipping people for outreach. I've preached at congregational celebrations and mission festivals from New Hampshire to California, Minnesota to Texas, Michigan to Florida. And I've been a part of some of the Men's Network Bible studies, too. But I've also made a real commitment to visit our Concordia universities to try to connect our work here at LHM with our next generation of disciples. You know, we want to be their digital faith resource and evangelism resource for the rest of their lives.
Now, is there anything about Lutheran Hour Ministries that you wish our listeners knew that you don't think they already know?
Well, you know, I wish people knew how many things were here at LHM for their faith walk and how many resources are here for their effective witness of faith to others. I mean, the Lutheran Hour sermons on the webpage, they're for you anytime. The daily devotions to strengthen your faith, the Men's Network Bible studies, the Mission U training online, and the list of blessings goes on and on.
And I suppose people don't realize all that's there available for them.
Yeah, it's here for them. And I don't think that people see the extent of how much is here to bless people, their pastor, their churches, everybody. I'd love for more and more people to use them to put these blessings to work in their lives.
Well, in this past year, you've been at a number of congregations. You've met thousands of people around the country. What's the one message you'd like to share with them?
You know, I want them to know how great our God is, how great the good news of the gospel is. Jesus is wonderful. The gift of our faith in him is such a blessing, and we have a message our world needs to hear. I want people to know that God has great things in store for us as we serve others in his name.
And I would say it sounds like even greater expectations for the future.
Absolutely. And if I can add, a future that my wife Yvette and I are very proud to be a part of with God's people around the country and our LHM family here. A blessed Easter to you, Mark, to you, Brian, our engineer, and to all listening. Here's to another year together by God's grace.
Very good. I'll second that. Thank you, Pastor Seltz. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.